Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Energy Teacher, Medium, and author of my newest book in the trilogy, A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares stories and messages from Spirit that show us that our challenges are not economical, political, or societal. Just a spiritual disconnect from our true being or soul wisdom. I am most delighted to welcome Beth Kramer, author of Why Didn't I Notice Her Before?, who shares how in her case in life, how the journey towards purpose and happiness could be found through the lessons learned from cancer. Now, most of us wouldn't think that you could learn so much, and perhaps it's just a difficult time, but in actuality, much can be gathered from the most difficult of experiences that we have for our soul to grow and expand. Hello, Beth, and thank you for joining us today on Healing From Within to share your soul awakening through the challenges of dealing with a cancer diagnosis. But then I believe the soul creates such challenges as a means to awaken us to ways to view self and life in a whole new healing fashion. Adversity can be a means to find peace and self-love. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I couldn't be on a better show. It's absolutely in line with what the entire book is focused on, and I appreciate your
You did a wonderful job of expressing all the challenges and all the growth that came and all the love that came from the experience. Beth, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my amazing guests and I share intimate and inspiring experiences that prove to us we are spiritual beings having a physical life. And the purpose is to simply, in the course of maturing and facing the challenges of life, to awaken to our true sense of being and know ourselves as eternal souls capable of great love, compassion, and service to others. The duality of life, spiritual and physical, can be both a curse and a miracle. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Beth Kramer will share how a difficult diagnosis of stage 4 ovarian cancer shook her free from the prison of obsession and depression and made her view herself and life in a totally new way. Beth, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, an event that may have signaled to them or others around them the lifestyle and interest they might value as an adult. Because I think we're born with a journey, a destiny, a life plan that we may have created even before our soul came into this physical life. So think back and see who you remember. I know you have a beautiful family, 3 sisters, your mother and father are alive, and a husband and a son. So think back for a minute to your beginning.
Well, I mean, I would certainly have to say my grandmother, who had an incredible effect on me. I mean, she is part of the family. Are you suggesting I pick somebody that is more coincidental that I had a happening with, that came into my life that was not a family member?
No, anyone.
My grandmother.
Tell us about your grandmother. Tell us about your grandmother.
Well, she was a very unique individual in that she was completely selfless, yet she was a strong character. She believed in her own values. She lost her husband at a young age, and she had my mother and 3 other children. I've never met anybody so generous and creative and able to really adjust without judging.
Yes, that's a rare person and a beautiful soul. Absolutely. Yeah, so you were lucky to have such a grandma. Yeah, you do have a very, very nice family that comes across in the book. In the preface to the book, Lily, a visual artist, was going through emotional hardships, a divorce, the loss of a dog, parenting, she had a strong-willed child, and financial problems. And she realizes in analyzing her drawings, it would be hard to deny the brain tumor and her ultimate death that were reflected in her work. Can you tell us about Lily and what you discovered from researching for the book you would write?
Right. Well, when I had several friends at the same time, all women around my age, late 40s, early 50s, who were diagnosed with different kinds of cancer. And these were women that had lived very holistic lives. They were very interested in different modalities of healing in their life practice. They all did work somehow with energy. And it was shocking to see that they all had come down with cancer. What was interesting with this particular woman, Lily, was that as an artist, she had been painting something that seemed to reflect or predetermine what was happening in her own body, that she happened to have brain cancer. And for myself, it was a similar situation where I was writing a novel. I was creating a fictional work about a woman who had cancer, and I was not knowing exactly how to work it. I was about to give up because cancer doesn't run in my family, and I didn't have all the material that I felt I needed to make it authentic. And it turned out several months later that I was actually my protagonist. I was the person with cancer, and so my body or my mind certainly felt something before it happened. And that's a lot of, you know, very ironic.
Well,
I do believe, I guess, yeah, go ahead.
Well, our minds and our souls are connected to the energy of eternal life. Call it universal source, the divine God, whatever you wish to think of, that's more than our physical life right now on this planet. It exists, it's truth. And I interviewed an author, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavos, the author, co-author with Dr. Larry Burke of Dreams That Can Save Your Life. And Kathleen tells us of how she knew that she had cancer, and she went to the doctors and she asked for tests, and ultimately they didn't think it was there, and they found it, and her life was saved. So I am aware that the soul knows things that the mind may not, and we have to use our intuition and all sources of help from spirit to guide us. And if anyone listening wants to hear that show that Kathleen and I did on Dreams That Can Save Your Life, go to my website and the radio page, June 2019. It wasn't that long ago that we discussed that. So, I don't think anything in our life is random. And I don't think your interest in writing about Lily's story was random, or the fact that you developed cancer was not part of your life plan. It was part of your life plan. And usually these things that happen, we see as difficult, or we don't want it, or it shouldn't happen. Or yes, that's so. That's in our physical life. But in our soul life, there are legitimate reasons that will bring us to a higher level of awareness and consciousness. And so I believe the mind is very powerful for knowing things, creating things, and being part of situations. Now, you talk of a psychic you visited when you were in college. Your sister, Maury, swore by this woman's abilities. Can you tell us about that reading and how it affected you down the road?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was something that I did more for the entertainment value than really the belief. But of course, there was things, and I've spoken to psychics many times since then, really in the hopes that I will hear something hear what I want to hear and believe, and then make the decision based on that. It doesn't always work out that way.
No, sometimes you hear what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but it helps you make good decisions, better choices.
Hopefully. And it's very mysterious to me. So, I mean, really, some of that is definitely talked about in my book, and how it these choices influenced ultimately the cancer. But back then, she had some interesting things to say about how I was going to have a child and reproduce, and that it was going to be somewhat of a science experiment. And that was at a time where I wasn't considering a child, childbirth quite yet, wasn't married. And it turned out that that was true. And then the other thing she said was that she couldn't tell me quite much more because it was negative, and I had already agreed not to hear anything that was not positive. And ultimately, I was diagnosed with cancer. I don't know if that was the thing or not, but that's sort of more of an
that was what she saw. That was
maybe,
I'm an intuitive. I'm a medium.
I know you are. I sort of
know when I hear something, sure, where it's going or the truth of it. Now,
go ahead.
Yeah. So what she told you was true. Because you did seek out a way to have a second child, which was a scientific way to work with the egg and to get pregnant in a way other than, with your husband. And so she picked it up. She didn't give you all the details, but she did pick up that you would be having that experience. And why did you have to have that experience? Think about it. Why did that have to happen? You had one child. What happened next?
Actually, I wanted a second child, and I chose not to. I wanted to have a second child. I did get pregnant. I chose not to have the child.
Right.
And that's what happened. And
you had an abortion,
really,
right?
The answer is that by not doing that, by holding this regret, and I don't want to get anything wrong here. I'm for women's right to choose.
Of course,
it's not a political statement, but I did have a termination, and it really became a regret, and I was obsessed with it, and it was a traumatic experience for me. And what I believe, going back to what we were talking about earlier, is that that traumatic experience targeted my organs. I came down with ovarian cancer, very aggressive, and as I said, it is not something that hereditary or runs in my family.
Yeah, I don't think the termination of the pregnancy created the ovarian cancer, but how can I say it?
Well,
your thought
obsession with the abortion, my obsession with trying to fix it, my anxiety wouldn't perhaps target the organs that.
Yes.
Cancer stem
yes.
From?
I think when we think about something long and hard, and certain fears or thoughts in our mind ultimately come into reality. We manifest or create many things in our life, beautiful things, artistic things, music, art, writing, but we also can create an illness or an experience that the soul thinks they have to have because perhaps out of the anxiety or the fear or the regret, as you said, it's possible. Now, look, I know at your age when all this started, I didn't believe in any of this stuff. I would believe anyone talking about some of this stuff was talking about airy fairy, magical, mystical, whatever. I just believed in the reality of life, and that I could control life by my decisions, my education, my goodwill, my good thoughts, my good actions. And I have learned since that many of the things we create are. They're necessary, even though we don't like them, because they bring us to another level.
I agree with you. No, but you know what? It's funny that you're saying that, because as far as the cancer goes,
yes,
I think it was like an incredibly effective, persuasive device to wake me up.
So
Right. on a spiritual level, I don't question why it came. In fact, when I was told, I was like, I slapped my head, hand against my forehead, like, aha, of course. It was as if a spirit guide said, look, you're not going to put this down. I'm going to make you put it down. I'm going to give you something to make you put it down. I really feel that that energy was there. And however, treating it has been different. So I don't know what route, you know, you would guide me towards. But like,
what do you mean treating it has been different?
Well, medically, I've gone the Western route of treating it. With
That's fine. That's fine.
But as far as the cancer itself, I think it was very clever, and not just a coincidence.
There are no coincidences. My first book is Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. So there are no coincidences. Our lives are not random. It's like we are living each chapter that we wrote well before we even entered this life. And there's nothing to fear. It will bring us to a higher level of awareness and consciousness and love and compassion. I know we'll be reunited with some of the friends that you've lost. You've lost all of them, right?
Well, they were, I mean, well, no. And
in that group,
bonds with my sisters.
Oh, no.
Here.
But in the group that you discussed, that all the women who very young all got cancer, they all passed, right?
Yes.
All right. So that was horrid to lose so many people that you care for and young. Now, why do you think in the group that all knew each other that might have happened?
Oh, I don't know. We were not close friends. We were, each one of them touched my lives in a different way.
Oh, they came from different.
But I do believe, maybe it could have been environmental. I didn't look into that because I'm so convinced that mine was personal.
Well, it is, yes, it could, it's both personal, could be environmental. You could be together with those people to have experienced all of it together. That's not random either. But let's go on to, you mentioned there are signs leading to the reality of the diagnosis and the book you were writing on a woman with cancer. That was Lily. Tell us about one of the other women. They were interesting women. I read all their stories. One was a yoga teacher. One was a healer like me. They were all interested in holistic living. And they some of them adopted children.
Right.
Two of them, I think, adopted children. So tell us about one of the other women. I found them very, very interesting to talk about.
To talk about the other women?
One. Pick one.
The one that actually was working with me, she to figure out what was behind, or to help me realize, she was called the Adoption Goddess. That's what she called herself. And her business was helping people who wanted to adopt children fulfill their dream and help them through the process. So she had adopted four children within, I'd say, 6 years, two from Guatemala and two from Africa, different parts. And she was a real, just a very charismatic person. And she was actually, I asked her to help guide me, even though I wanted to have another child biologically, to guide me. And so we would do exercises together, and she was my support system. And she tried to talk me out of my own story that had negative beliefs and a lot of ambiguous. I was very uncertain. I'd go back and forth, flip-flop, whether I could do it, whether I should do it. Anyway, so she was just this bundle of energy.
She was a good friend, and she was a good spiritual teacher. I don't think she thought you should go through with what you wanted to do.
Well, she'd be quite surprised I ended up with cancer. I think ultimately she did pass away, obviously, but she thought she had fought it and then ended up getting leukemia from all the chemotherapy. But she created beautiful children who I know from our community. But she lived a short life, but she was an amazing person.
Now, it's important you just said that, what you said. It was important you just said it was a short life. Now, I kind of think that we come into this life with a time to come and a time to go, and something to accomplish, someone to share something with, someone to be of service to, someone to love. And it's not about time, because the
Where do you
soul
think
is
so?
it. The soul is eternal. We go, we return out of the physical body, and there is life beyond here, and a different energetic life or soul life, but life nonetheless. And we meet up with people that we've been with here and before in other times and places. So I'm glad you said that, so I could bring that in, because many people who do energy work, who are mediums, know this to be true. And unless you've had your own experience, it might be hard to gather this. If you've had a near-death experience, or you have dreams and people visit you, or you see and feel things as an empath, you will know this to be true. But for our listeners, many of them already also know this is true. And I want to talk about a book you read by Bernie S. Siegel, M.D. He's on the one of the networks that my show runs on. Radio. Well, I'm one of the shows that I do. Let me see if I can just get it here. DreamVision7Radio.com. He's on that website, and I have my show, Healing From Within, on that website also. And he wrote a book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, that seemed to have helped show you the healing of mind, body, and spirit are more than just curing the disease. So, do you want to tell us something about that?
Well, I think what resonated with me is what I wanted to hear from him, which was that the one's experiences might signal an organ and create illness. Well, what's nice about that is if you believe that's true, then
It is
perhaps.
true, by the way.
I believe it's
It is
true. I
true.
mean, I think there's no other way to really to justify the cancer in my body. But I want to believe that healing can also come from positivity. Now, I don't believe that because I think eventually I will die young sooner than just by being hit by a bus. I think this cancer is what's going to probably most likely kill me.
Maybe
But
not.
maybe not. But I also know that I've never been happier, that I can still, I still play tennis and I jog and I laugh. And I wasn't able to do those things, quite frankly, before cancer gave me that wake-up call, before it said,
Well,
look,
I'm glad you also just said you may be happier now than you were before. You can still be happy because you appreciate life now, and you also want every moment to be important. And that's a great gift that you may have had as a result of this, and that's a beautiful thing. Now, Dr. Siegel writes in his book, many documented casualties show that psychological influences play a large part in determining who will develop illness. It often determines what disease will occur and when and where it will appear. Now, you began to realize that, and in my new book, A New Life Awaits, I describe my sister's pancreatic cancer experience, among other realizations I have made as a result of 8 years of hospice volunteer work. And I wrote this in the book. In recent days, I have seen so many people in their hearts and minds being adversely affected by cancer. It seems we have reached epidemic proportions alongside other seriously challenging ailments attributed to an aging population and the stresses of modern day life. Many have forgotten what our religious institutions have always held dear, the fact that the soul is an energy force of eternal magnitude, and that a new life awaits us beyond illness, beyond fear, beyond sorrow or pain. But the focus while living must be to live with joy, hope, and a full appreciation for the beauty and value of life. Sometimes a disease or tragedy or change in the world condition may help us reconnect to our eternal truths. and further our soul as well as our physical life growth. And you just sort of said that, and I have experienced that through all the sessions I have done with people who have struggled with any different situation. And
well, that's what I talk about in my book.
Yes, you do.
A cancer book. It's for anybody that's ever suffered from anxiety, depression, you know, life, and you know, illness or not, mental illness. Yeah, they're nice companion books.
Yes, you talk about many things in the book. But by the way, Beth, I often have coincidences with my marvelous guests. And at the beginning of your book, you mention and write the words to the song A Thousand Years by Christina Perry, which Beth said summed up everything she felt connected to the soul of the baby that she had not had long ago. And when my twin daughter began to take singing lessons at the age of 7 and sang that very beautiful song at her first recital, I cried the way I had cried on the first day I saw her in the hospital, so fragile after a difficult delivery. It was as if my soul and hers had met on a level, a world of love beyond this physical place, and it has never changed. So for those of you who don't know the words to that song, the song goes like this. I have died every day waiting for you. Darling, don't be afraid. I have loved you for 1,000 years. I'll love you for 1,000 more. Time stands still. Beauty in all she is. I will be brave. I will not let anything take away what's standing in front of me. Every breath, every hour has come to this one step closer. And that is the truth of what I try to relay in all my shows, that life is eternal and we have so much beauty and love that will be connected in oneness forever and ever. So I want to thank you, Beth Kramer, author of Why Didn't I Know Her Before, for sharing the story of your journey beyond abortion, scientific exploration of having a second child, any of your anxiety issues, and a cancer diagnosis, to share the miracle of faith and trust. I think that you have garnished in a higher plan that has evolved beyond this challenging set of circumstances. And to find the message of hope, go to BethKramer.com and read her book. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the concepts of obsession, maybe depression, illness, and often our own worst enemy, which is self-doubt and the fear of not completing one's life mission, whatever that is conceived to be. I remember my father telling me when I was a little girl that I was my own worst enemy. For I thought I had to help everybody and with love for people bring about changes that were really not within my power or in my hands to control. But still I wanted to do that because I had great love and I didn't want people to suffer and have any hardship. But we have to let life unfold naturally. And that sense of responsibility to help everyone can become less of a burden. And I think that Beth and many of the sensitive family and friends she has who love life so much, myself included, discover that awareness and hopefully the truth of our eternal soul life, making it more valuable to enjoy the moment and find peace, happiness, and an acceptance of life, no matter what. Beth and I would have you welcome the hope that when we venture beyond the physical life, the love of those we have known will be there waiting for us to reunite and joyfully express our gratitude for all our experiences together, both here and beyond. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the fields of metaphysics, spirituality, science, medicine, psychology, and the arts and music as they share their intimate views on life, death, and the source of all healing. Shows may be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.